what love is not. Inside the doors that seem to love, inside my heart is sleeping. Inside the fingers of my glove, inside the bones of my right hand. Inside it's colder than the stars, inside the dogs are weeping. Inside the circus of the wind, inside the clocks are filled with sand. Inside you'll never hurt me, inside the winter's creeping. Inside the compass of the night, inside the folding of the land. Outside the stars are turning, outside the worst are burning, yeah. Inside my head's a box of stars I never dare to open. Inside the womb they hide their scars, inside the lonesome sparrows fall. Inside the songs of our defeat, they sing of treaties broken. Inside us all is the retreat we hide beneath the thunder's song. Outside, the rains are falling. Outside, the drums are calling. Outside, the moon, flood moon won't wait. Outside, they're hammering down the gates. Love is a child with an endless roar. Love is an open wound that is full of war. Love is a shameless, useless metaphor. Love is an explosion, love is not coercion. Love is a violent roar. Love is a violent star. A tower of destruction, an angry star. A violation, a mutilation. Capitulation, love is annihilation, a violation. Inside the failings of the night is wrapped around me. Inside my eyes, they deny my sight. You'll never find me in this place. Inside, we're hidden from the moonlight. We shift between the shadows. Inside the compass of the night. Inside the memory of your face. Love is a child with an endless roar. Love is an open wound that is still raw. Love is a shameless, useless metaphor. Outside we strive, inside we wait. A storm is here, it's not too late. I need the strength to ask you why. I know myself, the truth is fine. Love me like a baby, love me like an older child. Love me like an ocean, love me like a mother's love. Love me like a father, love me like that prodigal son. Love me like a sister's love me like a world's just begun. Love me like astrology, love me like that idiot boy. Love me like a realtor, love me like your favorite toy. Love me like a dying pain, and then you vindicate me, implicate me, devastate me, vindicate me, radiate me, violate me, educate me, recreate me, segregate me, counterate me, duplicate me, commemorate me, and replicate me, replicate me. And you say you love me? Prepared a little something for you today. Love. What is love to most of us? With us, when we love, in it there is possessiveness, dominance, or subservience. From this possession arise jealousy and the innumerable conflicts with which each one of us is so familiar with. Possessiveness, then, is not love, nor is love sentimental. To be sentimental, to be emotional, excludes love. They are mere sensations. Love is not lustful or sexual. Sensory or sensual pleasure is not love. In relationship, we tend to build an illusion around having our partners based on what we seek for ourselves, without really even considering their needs or even their presence. This illusion is often shattered when we come to realize that love for another cannot be controlled, coerced, directed, restrained, or oppressed in any direction. When love comes into being, there is no condemnation of the other. You place your beloved's needs before your own. Love alone can transform instantly confusion, conflict, and strife immediately. When there is love, there is no possessiveness, no envy. There is mercy and compassion, not in theory, but in actuality, for your wife and for your children, for your neighbor and for your servant. Love alone can bring about mercy and beauty, order and peace. There is love with its blossoming when you, the me, I, cease to be in relationship. To have a greater insight, we need to look into the realm of the spiritual, where love expands its meaning to become charity. Christians assert, when Christ's hands and feet are being nailed to the cross at such a moment of unendurable torture, rather than being consumed by pain, he chooses to plead through meditation and prayer for the forgiveness of his oppressors. Can we then understand in this context that love is more than self-sacrificial? Man's benediction, his forgiveness, his continued unraveling from his life's conditioning is in astute self-inquiry, self-investigation of love's unfolding, of love's flowering. One has to probe very deeply, constantly into oneself, one's actions, for this light, for this extraordinary flower to bear. I wasn't going to add this today, but based on what Evan and Tony had to say, I think that it's appropriate to be able to, let's say, finish off my offering on innocence, because it gives us, again, a bar in which it is that we can see. That's all this really is about, these evenings, to enable us to see, but to see sensitively. There's nothing to do after that. The doing is the seeing. Manifestation just happens after that, naturally. Innocence. A mind rich with innocence is a youthful, healthy mind. Not with knowledge, but with innocence. A mind that appears to never have had a scratch of experience. A mind that is free from being time-worn and therefore dull. Innocence, in reality, demands a complete human being whose heart is full, rich, clear, capable of intense feeling, capable of seeing the beauty of a tree, the smile of a child, and the agony of a woman who has never had a meal. You have to have this extraordinary feeling, this sensitivity to everything, to the animal, to the cool black cat that skulks across the wall, to the squalor, the dirt, the filth of human beings in poverty, in despair. You have to be sensitive, which is to feel intensely, not in any particular direction, which is not an emotion that comes and goes, but which is to be sensitive with your nerves, with your eyes, with your body, with your ears, with your voice. You have to be sensitive, this sensitive, all the time. Unless you are so completely sensitive, ladies and gentlemen, there is no intelligence. Intelligence with great sensitivity and observation. Out of this innocence comes the innocence. Can you see that? Innocence is the result of innocence. Therefore, it is a natural, inherent fact. But we've become so diseased, so disoriented, so distracted, that many of our gifts prevent us from being able, are prevented from being able to come forward, because you're in distraction from yourself. This is a very, very important thing, because it's overlooked so easily. You leave here, you have to go and contend with everything else that you've got to do to be able to go before you go to sleep, to get ready for tomorrow. Tomorrow morning comes, and even though consciously there is a smattering of what it is that we spoke about tonight, it's very, very easy to be able to negate it, to be able to not look at it properly, because there's so many other things that comes into the periphery. Well, it is our acceptance of that authority that makes us so time-worn and therefore so dull. We're dull, empty, hollow human beings. And that's why it is that society provides for us ways of being able to fill that emptiness with experience. But that has no value, as you can see, and becoming less so all the time. So sensitivity. Sensitivity in relationship will bring about respect and care. That's all sensitivity does. To be sensitive and to be present to another, truly. Not, I am going to be here, check out my intention. I told you that I have an intention. Yes, but in your intention, I have no idea of your perverse pleasures. Nor do I have any idea of your skewed thinking. Therefore, intention cannot be trusted. Why? Because we are living in a world where there is no trust and very little integrity. So, care is more valuable than love, the way in which it is that love is being used. Love for whom? You put three people in the room, ask them, what does love mean to you? Well, it means three different things to three different people because they have three different perspectives. Yet, it is none of those three things. It's one separate, positive frequency. And because we are so deeply conditioned, we cannot contain love in our bodies. It exists outside of us. That is how it is that we have relegated our lives by the authority in which it is that we accept. So therefore, everywhere you turn, you think you may be present, but you're not present. You may be more present than the person that you're speaking to. But if you really were present, then you would be connected to this, which is what you already are. You would be in servitude. And I don't mean don't run out there and be successful. That's not what I'm saying. Servitude is a consciousness in which it is that you impart with every human being and you put into practice, because we are like that. I'll put it onto my woman. I'll put it onto my man. I'll put it onto my child. I'll put it onto my husband, my wife. Yes, great. See the alchemy and the manifestation of that. We are extremely powerful. So, love and understanding and care and respect, first of all, has to come inwardly. And why? Why inwardly? Because outwardly, life puts an enormous demand on us, which has an impact on us inwardly. If you are constantly running behind life, you will be perpetually in agony, because the anxiety that is created by a disorder creates that separation in us from our vital, intelligent, gifted selves. Entities, not selves, entities. And it takes what is going on out there to be able to impact people enough where they go, I don't know what to do. I am an intelligent human being. I have a wife and two children, a house and a this and a that and the other. But this time in history has created a challenge that goes beyond the government, goes beyond religion, goes beyond anything I've been taught. And I know that there's something out there, but I just can't access it. These small groups become vitally important, because if we can get all on the same page, and we're all saying the same things, just from a different perspective, perhaps. You know, but the bottom line is that it gets us all here. You know, I don't have to look at you to be able to engage, because that in itself is distraction, and I keep on saying that. It's far more important that you hear the weight and respond to the impact of the words on your nervous system. And that's between you and you, firstly. So love, really, follow love. Love, the root of love, means freedom. And when you look into freedom, it doesn't exist at all, because truth takes its place, which there is no path to. Yes, it sounds bloody slippery, that. But that's why it is that we are living with this volition that we have, because it is so slippery. Words are not the thing. So you think you have a good understanding because you believe you're present in a conversation, but what that person is saying and what they're giving is very, very different than your response. So until such time that we have an understanding of our personal power and then the way in which it is to direct it in the moment, then all we're doing is fucking around. We're living a life of prescribed illusion and escaping from the illusion, running into delusion. That has an impact on your children. And when they get old enough, the manifestation of what I've just said comes into their relationship. So it's constantly spinning.
Running straight from the arms of Mephistopheles into the so-called warm arms of Lucifer.
Right. Why? Because conflict is the number one prescription. If we have you in conflict, then we have you in division. If we have you in division, we don't have to worry about war. We can just scare the shit out of you by perpetuating it, or at least that in your psyche. That's the easiest way to be able to manipulate 12 billion people. Christ, if the people in Victoria, 330,000 or more, decided that we said, fuck this, what we're going to do is we're going to create our own authority. You'd be amazed at the amount of power in which it is that we have. But part of our conditioning is to be able to abide. But you have to take a look at what it is in which it is that they're asking you to abide by. A place of what? Beauty and solitude? Where is it? No, it's in me. Everything that you ask me to do is destructive in that nature, in that essence. So with your authority, the authority I give you, I'm destroying myself. And in the process of that, I'm killing myself to be able to pay the taxes, to live through this bloody misery, to be able to be what? The best person I possibly can be? There's so much contradiction and conflict in that. Come on, it's really simple. And with it, the unfortunate thing is this. The most powerful gender, which are the females, have lost their understanding of the fact that they are sacred, which means they do not have to do anything. They already are. But how can you tell anybody that? You can try, but you can't be that for them. They have to find that out. But when they do, which they already have, there's a way in which it is that our lives are going to progress, you know. But man and woman have to deal with many things. They have to deal with the complexities of the issues and challenges of just being able to survive before you really can get into relationship. And that's where they have you. They have you dismantled right where they need you, in the short and curlies, right in your relationship, the heart of your being. If you can't figure that out, well then your life is miserable. And everybody that you talk to, whether you're aware of it or not, you're creating conflict with. So I start with simple words like love, care, respect, attention, presence, and the ability to engage. Yes, it is difficult. Whoever told you that life was going to be easy? And the most beautiful things in life are difficult. And there's a beatitude that we have without having to go and run and spend $500,000 or $5,000 on a vacation to Timbuktu, when really, you take a vacation to your bloody self for a change. Now everybody in this room, I sense, they're deep people, engaging minds, have clairvoyance and many other gifts, many that are untouched. And where are they? What are they doing? Right. Very little. Very little. In comparison to the amount of power that you have just in one side of your body. So, the nature of what it is that we're speaking about, because it sounds as though, oh, they've done research, oh, they've lived this, oh, look, it's all accessible because it is all inherent. That's why it is I won't sit here ever and tell you what to do or advise you on how to think. You're an adult. Figure it out. You're the only ones that can, and the relationship and association is with yourselves. That is what is becoming more vital. And I think that to be able to do Ryan and Linnell justice for the time in which it is that they invest and also for their hearts, it is vital that when it is that we come forward and we speak, that people are impacted, not just, oh, well, that was a nice entertaining evening. Yeah. No, that's rubbish. It is Tony's intention to be able to hold space and to be able to have not just us as talkers, but perhaps you, if you wish to. And to be able to encourage it to grow so that there's a place of solace where minds can meet, come in and out, if they wish, okay, and be able to share things that are vital. You don't have to stay the whole night, but, you know, your energy is vitally important. And I'd really like to be able to, it is my wish to be able to see these things happen more often. You know, I have just as much of a demand to be able to speak as perhaps certain people would have to be able to hear it. But it is a very different time in our lives and in the history now, our personal history, collective history. It is a very different time. This is not a group that get together and sort of like, you know, Smokers Anonymous or Drinkers Anonymous or Alcoholics Anonymous or any whatever. It's not that's a gathering. And those are self-perpetuating. They don't get very far. We're talking about people have to be brave enough, both in their professional lives as well as their personal being. Yeah, pretty intense. To be able to go out there and to be able to impact this world. And the world needs you. People are suffering. They can't even talk about it, they're suffering so bloody much. Even though on a scale, if you were to compare it really, it's a new thing. It's only 150 years here. You know, they're evolving. But Canada is a lovely place. And we have more space and time and money and infrastructure than a lot of places in the world, especially with somebody like Trump over there in America, kicking the shit out of everything. You know, Canada all of a sudden is looking rosier, you know, as far as the world atlas is concerned. And we have the space. We are 5 years behind technology and 3 years socially behind. Which means what? Right, the emphasis is going to be put onto us. There's going to be a hell of a lot of spinning and a lot of corruption coming into this country, as it already is. And you're going to have to learn how to deal with that and still be beautiful people. Christ, if you don't come together and you're not strong in your internal, in your nervous system, then you're going to get sick. That's right. People blow up from trying to access and manifest through paganism and practicing ritualistic bullshit, okay? To be able to go and create certainty in their lives, because the certainty isn't there anymore. So they feel the need, which is conditioning, to be able to be in control. Well, tell me, control of what? What are you in control of? That in itself is a distraction, just like the word belief. They got everybody so screwed up on belief that yes, it is a very powerful tool. But it's a concept. Belief is a concept. It's a principle. And why does it not work? Because it is exclusive. Just like religion. It is exclusive to the group that is using it. And because it is exclusive, it is not inclusive. And if it isn't inclusive, it will never work. That's why humanity equals totalitarianism. Because they've been talking for all of these years on the power of society, inclusivity, but creating exclusivity, because we are the fuel and the energy that it takes to keep them going. And human beings are very smart these days. They have ways of being able to use society and social things that can have them move financially forward very quickly. But happiness and joy is not even there. Happiness and joy, the word joy has become a commodity. Just like the word love. And that's why it's so difficult to find, because it's not in people. So the basis of today and the conclusion that I would come to is that the energy that is here in this room, there you have enormous capacity for love, and you show it already in many intense ways. But it has to be, it must be developed in a way in which it is that you can move it laterally. It's the only way for our gifts and for you to reach any kind or any sense, and I wouldn't even say the word fulfillment, because there is none of that either. Seeking fulfillment is a road to despair. And the reason being is, if life, which is energy, relates to the flow of a river, then the river is always flowing, and therefore, if we are 70% water, whatever it is that we can't figure out just gets blocked up and we become drained over a period of time. You have to be confluent. You have to be able to know how to be able to move. And that takes depth and sensitivity. Take a look at anybody out there as an example who do not practice or are not aware of those characteristics, and take a look at their lives. You'll see. You'll even see it in your own life where it is that you're lacking. So, I think at the beginning of one's consciousness is to be able to take very, very small quantum leaps. Quantum leap is not a huge leap, a quantum leap. It's a shift in consciousness. It could be measured smaller than that. That is a quantum leap. Why quantum? Because it leaps from the known. And that's what everybody in this room has a hankering for, is the unknown. Yeah.